We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And Ross caps off 22-point fourth quarter for Terrence Ross. Incredible performance after hardly being a part of anything in the first three quarters. Obi Toppin shot won't go. And that will do it. A disappointing performance tonight by the Knicks as Jamal Mosley gets his first career win as an NBA head coach. He'll be doused, no doubt, in the locker room. And what a nice comeback for his young team. This rebuild for Orlando got a nice little boost for the victory here at Madison Square Garden.
All right. That's an appropriate start to the live stream. Knicks lose by whatever the hell they lost by. I don't know what the final score was. It was not close to a very bad Orlando Magic team that played well tonight. A couple of guys in particular played very well. But if you are the Knicks and you want to be taken seriously as one of the best teams in the NBA, can't lose this game. You can, I mean, listen, there are reasons why they lost. Some of them, you know, more acceptable than others. But at the end of the day, you're up 13 points at home. Can't lose the game. Go up 6 points heading into the fourth quarter. Can't lose the game. There is no excuse whatsoever to lose a game like this. Not absent, you know, one of your best players getting injured, which, by the way, one of them did, and he came back. I think the conversation after this game will be, did the Knicks lose because they did not respect the Magic enough? If we really want to get philosophical, did the Knicks lose because they did not respect the game of basketball enough? I think there will be certainly some conversation about whether or not they went a little too ISO heavy, whether the offense got a little bit too stagnant at times. Couple other things, you know, to pick on. You know, or whether they just got beat. And I think the truth, as often it does, lies somewhere in between. But I will just reiterate one more time, because there is really no, there is no question about this. If you are a Knicks team that wants to be taken with a certain modicum of respect around the league, you can't lose this game. That's as simple as that. On that note, let's talk about why they lost. So for anybody who may be listening tomorrow, missed the game, Knicks did indeed we shouldn't start with the 13-point lead, because the Knicks came out pretty flat in this game. And I think that was the first really bad sign. The Knicks, I don't know what if I would say there was maybe a little bit of a lack of ball movement early on. I think mostly they were just kind of missing shots. I think the biggest thing in the first quarter, which it was like a 2-point game or a 3-point game, whatever it was, one way or the other, was their defense was fine. It was fine. It was not good. It was fine at best. And then they ramped up the defense in the second quarter, and then they went on a 15-0 run, and they took a 13-point lead. And that's when things seemed to be okay. And then, again, took the foot off the gas a little bit. Some of the possessions, I think, down the stretch of the second quarter were some of the poorest of the game. And, you know, it was a game at halftime. And I said on the halftime Zoom, for anybody here who was on it, you couldn't quote me on this. You do not want to be in a close game in which Terrence Ross is involved. I really hate being right sometimes, and I fucking hate being right now. Because that dude, and it was funny because he was just like, I think he was like, you know, doing a Kevin Love silent protest deal. You know, where he just wasn't shooting. I think he took like two or three shots over the first, however many games, and, three quarters. And then just decided to start fireballing. But here's the thing. Terrence Ross can do that. Terrence Ross can go crazy in a game. He's done it before. He's done it before against the Knicks. That is not something that should shock anybody. So as soon as they were involved in a close game, that said, at halftime, I still thought they'd pull it out. And then what happened in the second half of the game? Again, can you attribute it to some missed shots? Sure, you can attribute it to missed shots. The Knicks took 47 three-pointers in this game, and I want to say they made 14. Does that sound right? 13, 14, 15, something like that. Whatever it was not enough. 13 for 48. Excuse me, 13 for 48. So the Knicks actually have now had the two highest three-point shooting games in terms of volume of threes taken in their history in terms of regulation games in the last two games. Obviously, whatever it was, 54 on Friday night, and then 48 tonight. They had 51, but that was in the four overtime game against Atlanta in 2017. So they meant it when they said they would shoot a lot of threes. Unfortunately, when you shoot 27% on those threes, the outcome is probably not going to be great. So I do think the second half, by and large, had a lot to do with the fact that they did just miss a lot of shots. I thought the attempts were pretty good attempts. I didn't think many of those threes were forced three-point attempts. But at the same time, I didn't think their offense looked particularly good, even though a lot of those threes were open. You know, and that's the danger that you get into when you have, A, some new pieces. I did not think the starting lineup gelled at all tonight. I thought early on, again, there was some good ball movement, some open looks, but after that, the starting lineup didn't really play great together. Brought in all the starters except Kemba Walker late, and it took a while to bring back Evan Fournier. And not that Evan Fournier did much down the stretch, but I did not think that Alec Burks played a particularly good game. And I was, a little – if there's one question that I have of Tibbs in this game, it's why'd you go with Burks for so long? Because I didn't think Burks was playing particularly well. But this was a team effort loss. And this is the last thing I'll say before I get to some of the super chats. I thought two Knicks had a good game. I thought Mitchell Robinson and Derrick Rose had outstanding games. Outstanding games. Can't say enough about the games that they both had. I thought Julius Randle played really hard, and I thought Julius Randle's effort was there. I did not think Julius Randle played a smart game. Julius Randle played, he took some bad shots. The three wasn't really going for him. He kept taking them. He ended up only 2 for 10 from deep. He was 8 for 24 from the field. Got to the line a lot, got a ton of rebounds. Again, that's as hard as Julius Randle could play. I don't fault his effort. I think he did not play very smart. Other than that, nobody else had a game worth a damn. Evan Fournier, 3 for 11. RJ Barrett, 5 for 17. Kemba Walker, 4 for 8, but this is not a great Kemba Walker game by any stretch. Only played 19 minutes. And then the bench, other than Rose's 23 points, Burks had 9, 3 of 10 shooting. Toppin had 2, 1 of 4. Just not a lot there. Let's get to the Super Chats, and then I'll have some more comments moving forward. D Black, I could say without hyperbole that this is the worst loss of the season. I like that. Good first comment. Dom Cappuccini, really terrible loss. Don't want to say terrible. Bad, yes. Bad loss, yes. 100% bad loss. Terrible loss, they got outplayed. They did not treat the game with the respect it deserves. It was a bad loss. I don't know if I said terrible. I was really looking forward to 3-0 before Philly. I guess it's not the end of the world, but eye-opening on both ends still early. Yeah, I mean, again, I think there were some takes before the season that the Knicks, you know, belong in this upper echelon of teams at the top of the league, and I'm not sure who belongs in that upper echelon because nobody looks particularly great right now. if there's one thing that defines the league at the moment, it is parity. But you know, the Knicks are not without flaws. Their offense obviously showed that it is not above rough stretches. And I thought they're, you know, I did think they played hard on defense in the second half. But when you get a guy like Terrence Ross going off like that, like what can you do? There's nobody in the league that can stop him. Stephens Guillaume. Ross has always been – hold on, I lost you. I'm getting it back. Ross has always been a Knick killer. Too much ISO, not enough ball movement. Completely agree with you. I think that the MO or the popular thing that will be said after this game is there was a lot of ISO. I agree that there was a lot of ISO. I agree that there was too much ISO. At the same time, the fact of the matter is they won a lot of games last season with a lot of ISO. And, you know, they won it with Julius Randle ISOs, Derrick Rose ISOs later in the season, you know, and they tried to win this game with a little bit too much ISO. I didn't think it was like over the top, but it was definitely too much. I completely agree with that. Kevin Danishevsky, I saw some takes that posited the Knicks didn't play hard tonight. Completely disagree. Yeah, I don't anybody who says that the Knicks didn't play hard tonight, I'm not sure what game you're watching. Or maybe it's that you haven't been watching this team for too long. It can certainly I guess feel that if you're a good team and you lose to a bad team, the immediate thing is going to be, oh, they didn't play hard tonight. I watched a lot of shitty basketball for a lot of years. I know what not playing hard looks like. The Knicks played hard. They did not play smart. And that's not exclusive to Randle. That's for the whole team. You know, they missed a shit ton of threes. They took 48 threes and they made 27% of those shots. If you're looking for one reason why they lost, there's your reason. Forgotten NYC. Julius wins you a lot of games, but he also loses you a lot of games. Not putting the entire loss on him, but he was 6 of 22 tonight and kept shooting. Look, I can't say that for some reason the Zoom link for tonight's post game is not working. So sorry, that's what I was diddling with my phone about. I'm not sure why that is. In any case, I can't say that a guy who had 30 points and 16 rebounds had a bad game. He could have had a better game. And we've come here. Here's the thing. The best compliment I can give Julius Randle. We have gotten to the point with him where he could have 30 points on 24 shots or whatever he had. 16 rebounds, clearly plays off, ass off, played really well on D. His game on defense was spectacular. Really, when we're complaining about Julius Randle right now, we're complaining about a half a dozen possessions that he shot it when it was maybe not the shot. And guess what? If two or three of those go in, we're not sitting here and probably having this conversation. So, but you know, you're the star and your team loses to a shitty team, you're gonna catch a lot of shit. And I'm sure Julius Randle is gonna catch a lot of shit. I can't say he had a bad game. Just didn't play smart. Dale, felt like every time Orlando made a run, Kemba was in. Yeah, I mean, we're look, I'm not even looking at plus minuses for the season until game 10. But without looking at it, I could pretty much guarantee you that Kemba has the worst plus minus of any regular on the team. It's been a little bit of a rough go. I mean, look, Rose has been here for longer, and it's not even that he's been here for longer. He's played for Tom Thibodeau for his entire career, essentially. Kemba is a point guard coming into a new system. He's trying to change how he plays, I think, to, you know, fit in on the totem pole where he fits in after being top of the totem pole for his entire career until last year. I think that's still going to be an adjustment for him. You know, the defense is a little rough, and you know, he's not hitting shots as he normally would. I'm not going to pile on Kemba, but he's not there yet. That's all it is to it. He's not there yet. CT Pittman really wanted this win for momentum going into this week. 76ers and Bulls will be tough games this week. So I don't know if Andrew's going to get mad at me for doing this, but we did our podcast earlier today, which we are going to re-record the first time I've ever done this. We're going to re-record the first 20 minutes of that after I get done with this live stream. That'll be fun. And at the end, we made our predictions for this week. And I was kind of joking with Jeremy Cohen, like, I'm okay with you going first and picking. I was like, because I'm between two choices and I don't want to have to make the decision. So Jeremy went 3-1. He predicted 3-1 on for the next four games, including this one. And I said, oh, okay, great. That mean, and he's like, oh, you're going to take 4-0. And I'm like, no, I'm actually going to take 2-2. And I think that was more about the Bulls and the Sixers. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, I even said it before the season started. I said I had a bad feeling about playing Orlando back-to-back games. I thought they would be okay after I saw the other night and how inept they look. But at the same time, like, look, one thing we haven't said yet, and it does need to be said, give the Magic credit. They did not play with any effort whatsoever the first game. And their coach said as much after the game. And you knew they were going to come out and try hard tonight. And they did. That team played really hard. And I was, you know, I did worry a little bit about that. Sixers speak for themselves. Bulls look great so far in the early going. And then, you know, New Orleans. I mean, it's a game they should win, but it is what it is. This is the NBA. There's a lot of parity right now. And the Knicks are certainly not above that parity. James Stanzioni, my good man, James. I had Knicks plus 6.5. We'll be okay. On to the next one. They needed to be humbled, I guess. Let's beat Philly and Chicago and forget about this one. Yeah, I mean, if anybody's like despondent and beside themselves right now, remember this team was they lost their first two games of last season. They were under 500 for a while. They were under 500 after 50 games. They were 25-27, you know. And the truth is that for as amazing as Julius is, he is still a top, you know, 15 to 20 player in the league, maybe a little higher than that. He's not a guy that is going to be able to, you know, put you on his back every night and rescue you pretty much every night. And there aren't many guys like that. There's like 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 guys like that. But he's not quite in that category. And on nights like this, when your offense is really up against it, you're generally better served having at least one of those guys and having a guy like Julius be your second guy. And the contenders, generally speaking, from year to year, that's what they have. They have one, you know, top 5, 6, 7 guy, and then another top 15, 20 guy. And those are the teams that generally win championships or compete for championships. We're not there yet. And because we're not there yet, you'll have nights like this where everybody else kind of goes cold. You only have a couple of guys that it's working for them. And, you know, you lose the game and you kind of get in your own way a little bit too.
Knicks basket.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Basketball is finally back, and there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet for Knicks tickets anymore, because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site and the only one you'll ever need as your go-to for all NBA tickets. TickPick got rid of all those awful service fees that all other sites charge, which lets them guarantee the best prices on all their NBA tickets. Don't believe it? If you could find better prices for the same seats on another ticket site, TickPick will give you 110% of the difference in the purchase price. When the Knicks schedule came out, there are definitely certain dates we all circled on the calendar. October 20th against the Celtics, Christmas Day against the Hawks, January 12th against the Mavericks, even April 6th against Brooklyn. Whether on the road or in the garden, TickPick has you covered. Visit TickPick.com/filmschool today to save $10 on your first order of Knicks tickets. That's TickPick.com/filmschool to save $10 on your first order of Knicks tickets today.
Hannibal Miles. This is what Tibbs meant by taking the right threes. If they were going in, fine, but they should have attacked the basket when the Magic switched its own defense. I'd like to stick with this point for a second. I think it's a really good one. Because, well, here's the thing. If you feel confident in your shooters, right? And I think the Knicks should feel confident in their shooters. I think they have – I don't think there's anybody that's shooting threes – that if, like, they're not feeling it for a quarter or two, they should give up on that. Like, Evan Fournier, Kemba Walker, Burks, like, these are guys who have had rough starts to games before, and then it could turn on in a heartbeat. I don't really think many of the threes they took down the stretch were bad threes. I do think, however, that they could have done a little bit more to get at the rim. That said, and here's the reality – the Magic are not a good defensive team, but they do have two behemoths in there at all times, whether it's Carter and Mbamba or Wagner and Robin Lopez. They play essentially two centers at once. Now, what you do to exploit a team that's playing two centers at once is you shoot a lot of threes because you're going to get open looks on the perimeter. You don't, generally speaking, attack the basket because that's going to make your life tougher. So, I mean, I get your point, and I don't necessarily disagree with your point, Hannibal. You know, it's a valid one, but I'm not sure. I think this matchup was probably a little bit tougher than maybe some others to really make that happen. That being said, I do wish they worked it around a little bit more and tried to get something else going. But we'll see what happens moving forward against other teams. Ludis, am I right? Mitch, when healthy, is a top 10 center. Changed my mind. This has obviously been this is a bummer, this game. I haven't talked about the good. Mitchell Robinson was fucking awesome. And I'm not going to change your mind. If this is the version of Mitch that we're going to see every night, is worth being in the conversation for one of the top 10 centers in the NBA? Yeah, sure. Why not? Fuck it, we have time since my Zoom link for the post game is apparently not working. Might as well go through it. I'd like to talk about something good too. So let's see. Who are the centers in the league that we know are definitively better than Mitchell Robinson? Because my goodness, did he change the game at both ends tonight. He was a force on defense. He was a force on offense. If there's one thing that I wish they could have done more, and this, Hannibal, to your point, I think this is incredibly valid. I wish they would have been able to get more lobs to him because you can't guard that. Again, easier said than done. You're playing against a team playing two centers. Obama's a big, tall guy. He could do that. So here are other centers that I think are at least worthy of mentioning. Nick Vucevic, Joel Embiid, Bam Adebayo, Clint Capella. Is Domantas Sabonis a center? No, I guess he's a power forward. Miles Turner is worth mentioning. It's five. Fuck if I'm putting Jared Allen ahead of Mitchell Robinson. That's not happening. I think that's it for the East. Let's go out West. Rudy Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns, Nikola Jokic. I was thinking Kristaps Porzingis for a second. Kristaps Porzingis is not better than Mitchell Robinson, that's for shit sure. Nurkic, I don't know. Nurkic is like close for me. I think Nurkic has his fans. Some people think he's really good. I don't know. I don't think I'm putting him ahead of Mitch. Same thing with Valanciunas. I think Valanciunas is a good center. I'd take Mitch over him. Anthony Davis is not a center. DeAndre Ayton? You got to put DeAndre Ayton there. I think that's 9. So, yeah, there you go. If Mitch is going to play like this, he is absolutely a top 10 center in the NBA. How you doing? Don't add me. Hush Zoo. Wish Kemba got some more minutes. I know Tibbs is chewing the Knicks out as we speak, so I'm looking forward to this big bounce back on Tuesday. I hope so. Again, I don't think effort was the problem tonight. I think they just didn't play sharp. And that's a mentality thing. That might be an approach thing. I'll be very interested to see how they come out on Tuesday. And look, let me just be clear about this. I'm going to say it right now. If they come out and they beat Phil, I don't really give a shit how Philadelphia plays. If they beat Philadelphia on Tuesday, I will forgive this and I will never think of it again. And I will go on with my merry life and be like 3-1. I'll take it. Happy as a clam. But they got to win. If they lose, then, you know, you start to be like, I don't know about that. As far as Kemba, you thought Tibbs should have given Kemba more minutes. I don't know. Maybe Kemba would have been the one to hit some threes. I mean, I feel like he was 50% at least from deep. He was 2 of 5 from deep. He was 4 of 8 from the field. That's a fair comment. I mean, you lose to the Magic. You can second guess pretty much anything. Kevin Danishevsky, before we panic, can we remember that the Hawks, who I think will be a top 3 seed, lost to the Cavs? It happens with some NBA teams. Yeah. But again, much like tonight, I was following that game on just the Gamecast as I was watching Heat Pacers last night, and the Hawks just didn't hit shots. Like, all their guys missed shots. Like, if you're going to be a team that misses shots, guess what? You're going to lose. Again, I can't speak to the Hawks' approach last night. Just like I think maybe we may be overstating the lack of a solid Knicks approach tonight. But yeah, you could lose to shit teams. It happens. Especially, here's the other thing to remember: this early in the season, especially when you have a Magic team coming off the effort that they put forward in their home opener. Like, teams play hard. Nobody's tanking yet. Guys are trying hard. Jeremy E, what's going on, Jeremy? How you doing? I want to see Grimes. I think you could help them. I think it's a little early for that. I mean, it's first loss. The spot would be Quickly or Burks. Burks got a lot of currency with me last year. He had a lot of currency with me last year. They win, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 less games without Alec Burks. He was incredibly valuable for them. I think he's a gamer. I think he played above his head last year. That was better than the career version of Alec Burks. You know, talk to me in a month or so if Alec Burks has really continued to come down to earth. And as far as quickly, again, out of every Knick, I think has had the worst start to the season, just because with quickly, if he's not scoring, he doesn't really help you a whole lot right now, because I don't think – well, we have seen flashes of playmaking, and that has been encouraging. He's not a playmaker right now. He's not a point guard right now. His defense is – you know, it's fine. If he's not scoring, he's not really helping you. And right now he's not scoring, so he's not really helping them. That said, I will give the longest of leashes to Emmanuel Quickly. I think he's in a little bit of a slump. I think maybe he worked his ass off in the offseason. It's not coming. He's maybe getting his head a little bit. We'll see what happens. I think he's going to be fine. White Falcon, what's going on? Rose RJ, OG13. I guess that's Fournier, OB Mitch, Kemba Fournier, Noel. OG 13. I'm not sure what this comment is saying, but OG 13. Who the hell is OG? Am I missing something? Yeah, I don't know. Okay, we're going to move on. Robert McGinley. What's going on, Rob? Not the end of the world tonight, but I do think it's a fair ask for Randall to be a little more efficient, especially with an improved supporting cast. Yeah, I mean, look, you're the leader of the team. You're the MVP candidate. Pressure's on, man. Pressure's on every night. There's no nights off. He did not have his best game. Despite 30 and 16, he did not have his best game. Varunsky's take. What is Varunsky's take? Let's read it. Every time they scored, Tibbs looked like he was going to cry. Teams in today's NBA are going to hoist up contested threes. We need to be able to respond positively to adversity by drawing set plays. Yeah, again, I think your play calling is always going to look probably worse than it is when the shots don't go in. They had good shots tonight. They had good shots tonight that just did not go in. I thought, despite the fact that the final score was whatever it is, was a 6-point game. I'll spoil whatever newsletter I'm going to write about this game, which I don't think is going to be tomorrow because I just don't have it in me. I thought the turning point of the, maybe not the turning point of the game, but I thought the pivotal moment of the game, and I'm not putting this on RJ. I thought it was a questionable foul call. But when they were within three and RJ got called for a foul on a Ross 3-pointer and Ross made all three free throws. If that doesn't happen, if they don't call a foul there and it just misses, or, you know, he doesn't contest it as well and it misses, whatever. And then I think there was still a decent amount of time. I thought that was probably the pivotal moment in the game. Sometimes it's an NBA game. It could turn on a trifle. But I think they run set play. You know, it's tough because when a team is playing hard on defense, like, that's why the Knicks succeeded last year as much as they did, because every team has set plays. Every team wants to run their shit. And when you face a team that's playing hard on defense, a lot of that stuff goes out the window. And the reason the Knicks won 41 games last year was because they played harder and more sound defensively than probably any team in the league. They certainly did not have the most talent defensively of any team in the league. Defensively, but they played the hardest and they played together and all that stuff. So a lot, they blew up teams' shit. Man, the Magic Twitter account is just, that's something. Oh, I see. I just got the take or the point of the guy who was saying PG-13. He's campaigning. Isn't he comments to trade Randall for Paul George? What? No. Why would we trade Paul? No. Just you want to trade the team's first real leader that they've had in like forever, who's been pretty damn good, for Paul George? No. Neither team would do that. Okay. B. Suede. I would have liked to see some Grimes, Moore, McBride, Colin Suggs, or Kemba's lunch. Put some defensive guards in. Yeah. Team loses its first game, you're going to get a lot of takes. And one of those takes is like, play the rookies. I'm not sure the rookies were the answer tonight. I think Grimes is really good. I think Grimes is going to help them. I do think Grimes defensively is going to be a weapon at some point. I think third game of the season, you know, guys – are maybe having a rough night. It's part of the reason Tibbs has the currency in the locker room, I think, that he does, is guys trust him. Guys go to war for him because he feels like they feel like he does right by them. You know, it's the best way to say it. Here's what I will tell you. If this team stays injury free, and at some point this season you get a lot of Quentin Grimes or Deuce McBride, something has gone horribly, horribly wrong. That is not a thing that anybody should be rooting for. Although coming off a game like this, I get why you'd want to see it. Boston Nick, what's going on, man? How you doing? We took a lot of good quality shots, but weren't knocking them down. They out-hustled us. They wanted it more. I definitely think they out-hustled us a fair bit. That's fair to say. Or let me rephrase that. They hustled like a team that was desperate to win the game. I think the Knicks hustled. I'm not going to say the Knicks did not put forth effort. I thought they put forth effort. Is it possible the Magic maybe put forth a little bit more effort? Sure, that's possible. But, you know, Terrence Ross going off in the second, in the fourth quarter, and Cole Anthony going off in the first half helped as well. Kudos to the Magic. I'm just glad we didn't lose Mitch, to be quite honest. Yeah, of the two outcomes that could have happened tonight, losing Mitch or losing this game was definitely the better of the two outcomes. Michael Aaron, what's going on, Michael? If RJ's off on offense, what should he do to get better looks? Is it more on RJ to be assertive or the team working him into the flow of the offense? See, this is, I think, why a lot of people have RJ lower on their, you know, list of young players rankings and what have you, and NBA rankings and all that good stuff, because there's not really – I don't know how RJ gets better shots with his game as currently constituted, which is to say RJ's greatest strength right now is just that, his strength. He is big. He is big for a two guard. He should be able to utilize that strength against smaller guards who are guarding him, which was the case a lot tonight. He should be able to draw fouls and obviously hit foul shots. And he should be able to kind of get to the rim, whether that's by post-ups, whether that's through drives or whatever the case may be. That's a part of his game he's still working on. I think that's the end game. And again, not a single person in the world should be complaining about where RJ Barrett is right now, because RJ Barrett's 21 years old. And, you know, RJ's a lot of things. He's not Luka Doncic or Trae Young or, you know, one of these guys who, you know, comes into the league and like automatically it's like, oh, okay, this guy is going to – it's not going to take him very long. You know, RJ's been progressing perfectly fine. He's going to have ups. He's going to have downs. I don't know that there's, you know, like I think RJ's approach to the game tonight, to be honest with you, I thought it was fine. I think there's were games in the last few years where he's forced – certainly as a rookie and to a certain extent last year, where he's forced some not-so-great looks around the rim. I didn't think he forced bad looks tonight. I just think he didn't hit shots. I didn't really have a problem with his shot selection. I have to think he took at least 10 threes. Seven threes, excuse me. So he took 10 from inside the arc. So he was 4 of 10 from inside the arc. He was 1 of 7 from deep. Off the top of my head, I can't think of any terrible looks he took inside the arc. I may be forgetting something, but, you know, work in progress.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Daniel Mejia. We needed to run an offense and use Julius as a bailout. If the set doesn't work, they featured him and he was a brick tonight. I mean, again, we're talking about a half dozen possessions. That were really bad shots for Julius. Could they have run more sets? Yes, for sure. And I'm sure Tibbs will emphasize that. I guarantee you, again, I could have gotten on the damn Zoom if the damn link worked. I'm sure he thinks they should have run their offense more tonight. Good question from someone else that Andrew just tossed at me. What do you think about the poor free throw shooting this season? Yeah, that's not good. I don't know. Is that, you know, this happened, I feel like, a few years ago, too, where they started off and they were just bad from the free throw line. Was it 2 years ago? 3 years ago? One of those years. I don't know what to say about it because I don't I don't know what's behind it. It may be a coincidence. Maybe they've just spent time on other stuff. I don't think this is a team of guys who doesn't put in the work. I feel like free throw, poor, good or bad free throw shooting can be contagious. I wish I had more thoughts on it, but I don't. I just hope it gets better. But it's only three games, so not time to worry yet. Anthony Six, though. Love Mitch so far, but he needs some martial arts classes to strengthen his balance and core. Gets knocked off balance. Falls a bit too easy at times. He does fall a lot. The play where he almost got injured tonight, or he did get injured and he came back, I didn't think there was anything he could do there. I think his physicality has been really good this season. I think he's had his way on the boards in terms of just getting in good position, getting guys out of the way. He was probably a little gassed towards the end of that game because he played – oh, yeah, 2019-20. They were last in free throws at the trade deadline. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, Mitch played 33 minutes tonight. Again, for a guy whose basketball, like, conditioning is not where it needs to be, got six fouls. You know, I know one of those was intentional late. But, yeah, you know, he could definitely work on that. Something to look for moving forward. Varunsky's take – again, thank you again for contributing. I know, or it's not Kemba's fault. We just have a coach who runs a very rudimentary offense. Threes virtually, no off-ball plays for Kemba quickly. Yeah, I mean, could there be some more spice? Sure. But, you know, we were talking, this was the this was the best offense in the league, you know, 24 hours or whatever, 4 hours ago. By offensive rating. They had a rough night. I think there's always more you could do. There's always something different you could do. You know what my favorite line from the Van Gundy podcast was when I brought up that he had started Herb Williams in his first game alongside Patrick Ewing because Charles Oakley was out, and Van Gundy was like, it was stupid then, and it was stupid then, and it's still stupid now. Like, of course, coaches make mistakes, and coaches have blind spots in their game and things that they don't do as well as maybe they could. On the whole, I think Tibbs's offenses, not just last year or this year, or you know, throughout his career, Tibbs's offenses have been good. I think he's maximized his potential in terms of, or the team's potential that he's coached. You know, and there's something to be said for, like, letting guys eat, so to speak. I think guys like that. I think Julius Randle likes the opportunity to, like, get his ISOs. Probably makes him try that much harder, you know, the rest of the game. Is that an excuse? No, you can run more stuff. But, again, it's all of this stuff is going to look bad when you lose to a team like the Magic, which is like, you know, you don't want to lose to a team like the Magic. Okay. We got Fritz Marty Jr. Man, the Orlando Magic Twitter account. Fucking hey. Got called out by their own player too, and they're spouting off. Fritz Marty, I have a different take on this loss. Mitchell Robinson is not hurt. For me, it's a win. Great call. We are 80 more games to make adjustments. Well, we have 79 more games to make adjustments, and then hopefully a few more after that. Good comment, though. Good comment. That is the biggest thing from this season. Forgotten NYC. Derrick Rose appreciation comment. Man, where would we be without him? He balls out so many possessions night in, night out. I mean, he missed, I think, maybe his last two threes. So he finished the game 5 of 8 from deep. I obviously am not going to say that Derrick Rose is playing the best basketball of his career because man won an MVP, but he's playing. I think I wrote the last day of the preseason that I think Derrick Rose has an argument for being a top 15 point guard in the league. And that may sound outlandish. Probably is outlandish, but I believe it. I really think Derrick Rose has an argument for being a top 15 point guard in the league. I think his defense is like you know, it's not great, but he's not going to kill you. Like, now that we have Kemba here, we see what it is to have a defensive guard who's really kind of weak. Derrick Rose, that's not Derrick Rose. Tries hard. He's in his spots. He's opportunistic. He gets a steal every now and then. And then on offense, you know, if he's going to hit threes like this, which it seems like he's doing, because we now have a pretty big sample size going back to last year, and he still gets to the rim and he can make, you know, is he Chris Paul in terms of passing? No, of course not. But he's a pretty good passer for a point guard. I love Derrick Rose. I don't know where they'd be without him. My God, what a steal to get him for a second-round pick. And Dennis Smith Jr. That's all I'm going to say. Dom Cappuccini, what's going on again, Dom? I hope you are well. Thank you again for contributing to the Super Chat. Would you chalk this L up mostly to poor shooting? Before I even read the rest of the comment, I am chalking this L up mostly to poor shooting, although, as many have said, I did not think that their approach was as nearly as good as it could have been. As you said, many of them weren't poor looks, and they were so hot to start, not going to beat many teams under 40% shooting. Yeah. You know, I think if I can marry these 2 points, if you feel like, oh, we'll just be able to shoot our way out of this rut, or we'll be able to shoot our way back into the game, or like we'll keep shooting it and like this team will go away, maybe tonight was the reminder that it's like, oh, you have to like do all of the other stuff too. To win, you know, on a consistent basis. And like, if they do that, then they'll get closer. But again, maybe it was a wake up call. We'll see. Okay. I think we got a couple more and then we're going to finish up, cause I, again, have another 20 minutes of podcasting to record. Shout out to Jeremy Cohen and Andrew Claudio. White Falcon, we need a small forward. PG-13 with RJ will stop team from driving. I can't, you're going to have to sell crazy someplace else. Cause I'm not trading Julius Randle for, I'm not even saying Julius Randle's a better player than Paul George, but like, that's not where we're at. Wow. What a weird way to end this live stream. Are we re-recording more than just 20 minutes? I just saw Andrew's comment. My God. I don't know how much I have in me. As you can tell, I've been yawning a bit because it's been a long day and it's been a long night. So there you have it. Okay. Thank you everybody for coming and joining on this quite miserable evening. That said, you know, still 2-1. Read Carson's comment and then we wrap up. Okay, Since the Knicks have so much depth, who are the 8 guys you would protect in an expansion draft? They have to be restricted free agents or under contract. This is a good question. All right, let's end on this. The 8 Knicks I'd protect in an expansion draft. Julius Randle. Am I allowed to say Mitchell Robinson? I don't know what that – if they have to be restricted free agents or under contract. So I guess I can't protect Mitch? Somebody tell me, clarify that if you don't mind, Carson. Can I protect Mitch? I'll keep going in the meantime. I would protect Julius Randle, RJ Barrett, Obi Toppin, Derrick Rose, quickly. I think those are the obvious ones. Yes. So I could protect Mitchell Robinson. Okay, I'll protect Mitchell Robinson. That's 6. And I guess my last 2 would be – I haven't said Walker and I haven't said Fournier. I haven't said Burks. I haven't – I guess – man, I don't know if I think enough of these rookies to protect them. No, I want to win this year. I'll protect Walker and Fournier. What happens to guys like Grimes and McBride? I mean, maybe they get taken. I don't know. But I know what our veterans could do. I don't know yet what Grimes and McBride are in like real NBA games over a long sample size. So it's a tough call. I would think about Grimes. I would think about McBride. But again, I'm still like, despite how we're feeling tonight, still really high on Evan Fournier for this team. Still pretty high on Kemba Walker for this team. Good question, though. Really good question. Kevin Danishevsky, the right answer is Grimes and Fournier for the last two. Man, everybody's tossing Kemba to the side already. Kemba's not played well. I'm not quite there yet. He's still the starting point guard of this team, and I still think he's going to be pretty good. Don't give up on Kemba Walker yet. He's overcome adversity everywhere he's been. I think he'll be okay. Okay. On that note, we're going to wrap up, and I hope everybody has a good start to their week, better than they're doing right now, and we will talk to you very soon.